I'm not going to talk about the travel ban. I'm just going to talk about the very non-political, family-friendly, People's Choice Award-winning Finding Dory.
Peace and blessings be upon you.
If you're gay, lesbian, or bisexual, you're 3 to 4 times more at risk for attempting suicide. On an average day, we might get about 130 to 140 calls, which is really a lot.
That is a lot.
And in the 2 days following the election, we had almost 700.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Boy Scouts of America transitions on gender identity, screen actors mix politics with prizes, and Trump's teens turn to the Trevor Project. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 4th, 2017. After more than a century of entrenched resistance, the Boy Scouts of America completed its total evolution on LGBT people this week by announcing that it will welcome transgender kids who identify as boys into its ranks, as well as transgender adult leaders. The youth organization opened its doors to openly gay scouts in 2013 and to out gay adult leaders and employees in 2015. The BSA announcement said that it would immediately begin accepting the gender identity specified by a child or parent on its enrollment applications. Admittance had previously been based only on the child's birth certificate. The group acknowledged the highly publicized case of Joe Maldonado, an 8-year-old Secaucus, New Jersey boy who was told to leave his scout troop late last year after some parents found out he's transgender and complained. But the BSA statement said the decision was made in the context of the larger discussion of trans issues going on around the country. Joe has been invited to rejoin his troop. Christy Maldonado, Joe's mom, said they'd like that, but only after the scout leader who kicked Joe out leaves.
Sweden's National Board of Health and Welfare announced this week that transgender people will no longer be classified as mentally ill. The board's leader, Christina Brand Persson, called it a completely reasonable change because it follows the October 2016 World Health Organization decision to do the same. Several Swedish trans activists ridiculed the announcement on Twitter as long overdue. "Wake me," one wrote. "Is it 2017 or 1817? Sweden has tended to lag behind many of its regional neighbors in its treatment of transgender citizens. Until its repeal in 2013, a Swedish law made sterilization a requirement, or, as the statute described it, lack of the ability to procreate, before the government would legally recognize a trans person's gender.
Switzerland has lifted its lifetime ban on blood donations by men who have sex with men. However, like a similar announcement a few weeks ago in the Republic of Ireland, gay and bisexual men who want to help save lives will still have to have been celibate for the past year. Activists applauded the step forward, but echoed those in other countries with similar restrictions, who argue that potential blood donors should be screened on the basis of personal behavior and not sexual orientation.
Elsewhere, another judge in Lebanon has questioned the country's laws banning private, consensual, adult, same-gender lovemaking. Judge Rabi Maalouf ruled in a court near Beirut this week that because homosexuality is a natural variant, Lebanese Penal Code Article 534, outlawing intercourse contrary to the order of nature, doesn't apply. "Homosexuality is a personal choice," he wrote, "not a criminal offense." The law currently punishes same-gender sex with up to a year in prison. The judge referenced Article 183 of the Penal Code, which states that an act undertaken in exercise of a right without abuse shall not be regarded as an offense. In other words, if no harm is done, there is no crime. Human Rights Watch notes that Maalouf is just the latest magistrate to question the interpretation of Article 534. Judges did the same in cases involving private consensual adult gay sex in 2007 and 2014. The Lebanese Psychiatric Society issued a statement in 2013 affirming that homosexuality is not a mental disorder, and in 2015, the organization specifically called for the abolition of Article 534.
An appeals court in the Estonian capital of Tallinn ordered the country this week to recognize a gay couple who'd been legally married in Sweden. A lower court rejected the Estonian men's request to have their marriage entered into the civil register. Appeals court judges ruled in their favor in December. After time expired for authorities to file an appeal, the couple finally entered their marriage in the civil register on January 31st. Equality activists are hoping it's just the first step toward full civil marriage equality in their country. Queer couples have been able to enter into civil partnerships in Estonia since last year, which made it the first former Soviet republic to legally recognize same-gender couples. And even though civil partnerships were supposed to provide gay and lesbian couples with almost the same rights as heterosexual couples, they're denied adoptions equality, for example. Critics charge that almost the same is not equal.
Norway's Evangelical Lutheran Church adopted a new liturgy this week that will allow ministers to bless the marriages of same-gender couples. Church officials approved the move last year, but a special liturgy had to be developed before gay and lesbian couples could enjoy church weddings. The General Synod voted 83-29 on January 30th to approve the new service, which essentially replaces bride and groom in the wedding ceremony with gender-neutral terms. The liturgy to bless heterosexual couples remains unchanged. Individual pastors are free to decide whether or not to officiate at the weddings of same-gender couples. At last count, about 73% of Norway's 5.2 million residents are registered members of the church, which officially separated from the state on January 1st. Civil marriage and adoption have been open to same-gender couples in Norway since 2009. The church also ordains openly gay ministers.
Thousands of British gay and bisexual men were officially pardoned this week, albeit posthumously, for criminal convictions that would not be against the law today. Private, consensual, adult, same-gender sex was decriminalized in Britain in 1967. Turing's Law, as it's called, is named for Alan Turing. He was the brilliant World War II forefather of the modern computer who cracked the Nazi Enigma code. He committed suicide in 1954 following his forced chemical castration after being convicted of engaging in private, consensual, adult gay sex. Turing received a royal pardon in 2013. His relatives pushed for the passage of Turing's Law to expunge the records of those similarly convicted. The law received official royal assent on January 31st. "We can never undo the hurt caused," said Justice Minister Sam Gyimah, "but we have apologized and taken action to right these wrongs." Irish-born playwright Oscar Wilde was among some 50,000 gay men given posthumous pardons in the UK. Those convicted under the so-called buggery laws before 1967 and are still living can apply to the Home Office to have their convictions expunged.
The government of the Republic of Ireland has agreed not to oppose a bill that will similarly pardon an estimated 2,000 men who were convicted of violating Irish laws against gay sex. Those laws were only abolished in Ireland in 1993.
In this week's Trump News, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer followed up his "I don't know" in response to a question at a briefing last week to say in a statement this week that President Trump intends to maintain the anti-bias protections for LGBT federal workers that were implemented under former President Barack Obama. The New York Times reported that Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner, an official presidential advisor, were instrumental in convincing Trump to keep the protections.
But rumors have swirled around Trump's reported support of the First Amendment Defense Act, a bill percolating in Congress that would allow individuals and businesses to overtly discriminate against LGBT people based on sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. Press Secretary Spicer said this week that the White House has no plans to issue a similar so-called religious freedom executive order at this time.
And finally, queer advocacy groups have joined a chorus of progressive organizations expressing concerns about President Trump's nomination of Boulder, Colorado-based federal appeals court judge Neil Gorsuch to fill the vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court left by the death almost a year ago of far-right Justice Antonin Scalia. Gorsuch is said to be a keen admirer of the arch-conservative ideologue, who was a vocal opponent of every LGBT rights case that came before him during his long tenure on the High Court. As a judge on the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Gorsuch's ruling in the Hobby Lobby case supported the right of a conservative Christian-run company to withhold contraception services from the healthcare benefits it offers its employees. Equality California Executive Director Rick Zabur warned in a statement that such a ruling bodes ill for LGBT people who are facing an onslaught of laws sanctioning discrimination in the name of religious liberty. Meanwhile, the High Court announced this week that the justices would hear oral arguments in the case of Virginia transgender high school student Gavin Grimm on March 28th. He sued the Gloucester County School Board last year, demanding the right to use restrooms on campus consistent with his gender identity. It will be the first time the U.S. Supreme Court has heard a case involving the rights of transgender people.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 4th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Carol Myers.
Teen trauma gets tougher in the time of Trump. Later in the program.
I'm Diddly Day, an actor's life is gay. It's great to be a celebrity, an actor's life for me.
A perhaps more queer than usual annual Screen Actors Guild Awards ceremony was held in Los Angeles on January 29th. Lesbian icon Lily Tomlin accepted SAG's Lifetime Achievement Award with her trademark biting humor and numerous other LGBTQ fan favorites took home trophies. President Trump's immigration travel ban was barely 48 hours old when it prompted comments by several winners. The multinational, partly queer cast of Orange is the New Black accepted the award for Best Ensemble TV Comedy. Taylor Piper Schilling got a little help from her friends during the acceptance speech.
We stand up here representing a diverse group of people, representing generations of families who have sought a better life here from places like Nigeria, the Dominican Republic,
Puerto Rico,
oh,
Colombia, yeah.
Colombia,
yeah. Ireland,
Brooklyn,
yes.
And we know that it's going to be up to us and all of you probably too to keep telling stories that show what unites us is stronger than the forces that seek to divide us.
Yeah. At some point, you got to decide for yourself who you're going to be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
Moonlight's Mahershala Ali gave heartfelt thanks for his win for outstanding film performance by a male actor in a supporting role. He played a drug dealer named Juan who takes a bullied gay youth under his wing.
What I've learned from working on Moonlight is we see what happens when you persecute people. They fold into themselves. And what I was so grateful about in having the opportunity to play Juan was playing a gentleman who saw a young man folding into himself as a result of the persecution of his community and taking that opportunity to uplift him and tell him that he mattered, that he was okay, and accept him. And I hope that we do a better job of that. You know, when we kind of get caught up in the minutiae, the details that make us all different, I think there's two ways of seeing that. There's an opportunity to see the texture of that person, the characteristics that make them unique. And then there's an opportunity to go to war about it and to say that that person is different from me and I don't like you. So let's battle. My mother is an ordained minister. I'm a Muslim. She didn't do backflips when I called her to tell her I converted 17 years ago. But I tell you now, we put things to the side. And I'm able to see her. She's able to see me. We love each other. The love has grown. And that stuff is minutia. It's not that important. Thank you. Peace and blessings be upon you.
Even daytime talk show queen Ellen DeGeneres had words about the Trump travel ban this week.
Heard, this is what happened. Over the weekend, on Friday, the president gave an order banning people from seven countries from entering the United States, including people with green cards. And then on Saturday, the president screened Finding Dory at the White House. I'm not going to talk about the travel ban. I'm just going to talk about the very non-political, family-friendly, People's Choice Award-winning Finding Dory. Of course, Finding Dory is about a fish named Dory, and Dory lives in Australia, and these are her parents, and they live in America, and I don't know what religion they are, but her dad sounds a little Jewish, doesn't matter. Dory arrives in America with her friends Marlin and Nemo, and she ends up at the Marine Life Institute behind a large wall, and they all have to get over the wall. And you won't believe it, but that wall has almost no effect in keeping them out. Even though Dory gets into America, she ends up separated from her family. But the other animals help Dory, animals that don't even need her, animals that don't even have anything in common with her. They help her even though they're completely different colors, because that's what you do when you see someone in need. You help them. So that is what I hope everyone who's watching Finding Dory has learned. Tune in next week when I explain women's rights, talking about the movie Mr. Wrong.
Oops.
Hello, this is the actor Michael Emerson, Ben on Lost. It's not easy being one of the others. So if time travel or moving the island isn't an option and you're feeling sort of lost, try listening to Greg and Lucia on This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine.
Careful the things you say, children will listen. Careful the things you do, children will see.
The Trump effect on minority youth is part of the collateral damage following the U.S. presidential election. This Way Out's Abby Dees and Wenzel Jones discuss the latest threat to already threatened LGBTQ young people in particular, and a lot more, with Abby Land, executive director of the literally life-saving Trevor Project.
We work to prevent suicide for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth up to 25. One thing many people don't know is suicide is actually the second leading cause of death of all young people 10 to 24. But if you're gay, lesbian, or bisexual, you're 3 to 4 times more at risk for attempting suicide, and almost half of trans youth have thought about suicide. We have been around since 1998, and over those years have helped thousands upon thousands of youth who've reached out to us in often their darkest moment. And we do our services through a 24/7 lifeline that young people can call us from all across the country, as well as we have Trevor Chat and we have Trevor Text.
And what's Trevor Text?
Young people can text us when they're in crisis.
And there's a live person to text right back?
We have our counselors are available 24/7.
People. Any way that you can connect with people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, part of what we really try to do is make sure we meet youth where they are. And so though many, many youth actually reach out to us using the telephone, more and more youth obviously are, you know, on the computer. So we chat with them, instant messaging. And then so many more are texting each other. You wouldn't think you would text about this, but many youth do text about it. So we have counselors that we've trained to be there for the young people.
Huffington Post reported that you guys are getting a real flood of calls since the election.
Sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. No, you don't. Go back to Univision.
Is there a Muslim problem? Absolutely, yes. I didn't see Swedish people knocking down the World Trade Center.
How do you define Black Lives Matter?
Well, I would say they're dividing America.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, coming out of her wherever.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She talks like a truck driver.
On an average day, if you would, between our chat, text, and Lifeline, we might get about 130 to 140 calls, which is really a lot.
That is a lot.
And in the 2 days following the election, we had almost 700 calls.
What was the nature of the calls?
What we heard over and over again from the young folks that were reaching out to us was they're scared. There's this big question. What does it mean? You know, they listened for months to this political rhetoric. People were being told they were less than and not equal to. And now these people are president and our vice president. People called afraid to lose their rights, afraid of losing health care, of maybe having to go to conversion therapy. So there's a lot of fear there. We remind them that over half of the voters actually voted a different way. In fact, the popular vote was much more for the other candidate. And we remind them that they're special the way they are, and there's a whole lot of people out there fighting for them. And that, I think, is a really important message. At the Trevor Project in the days following the election, we had so many notes and cards, you know, from people reaching out to us from really all over the world, from 20 different countries. We got notes and support saying, we know the work you're doing is really important right now, and we want to make sure that you can be there for the young people. So we share that with them. We let them know they're not alone, that there's a lot of us there that are going to be there for them.
Something that surprised me about the Trevor Project that I learned a while ago is that while your mission is crisis intervention and suicide prevention, you will take calls really from anybody with serious issues to discuss, family members who are trying to understand.
We are a fully accredited Lifeline. We meet all the national standards. The bulk of our calls are on young people who are in crisis up to 25. But obviously, we talk to anyone. And we do get a number of parents who call. And certainly, even since this election, a number of parents have called trying to understand what to even say to their children. You know, trying to understand that. And we have a lot of information on our website. And we encourage people to reach out, to call us. And, you know, sometimes just talking through some of those issues makes a difference. But for young people who are specifically 13 to 24, we have something called Trevor Space. And Trevor Space, it's a Facebook-like community of LGBTQ, AIP, young people. And it's really a community where you can go and suddenly you realize you're not alone, you know, because even sometimes when you're in the middle of Los Angeles, you think you're the only one, let alone when you might be in a very small town where literally you might not know anyone. So here you come onto Trevor Space. We have over 150,000 young people on Trevor Space. And it is that place where you could talk, ask questions. And so you're not in crisis, but, you know, it's like, I want to tell my mom I'm gay and I don't know what to do. And, you know, boy, you'll get a whole lot of folks telling you, do this, don't do that. And so it's a really wonderful place because we know that it's really important to feel like you're part of a community.
And you sort of police that site?
We have volunteers who monitor that site. It's a safe site that we ensure that it's safety. We make sure, too, if someone is really in crisis, that we can reach out to them so that they can talk to folks on our counseling line.
Abby Land is the executive director of the Trevor Project. I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
One of the issues that I know can be the most challenging for a queer youth, queer anybody, is religion, family religion. And I'm wondering how you navigate that.
Part of what we do, we're there to listen. We're not there to pass judgment. And, you know, religion is a really important thing in many people's lives. And just because you might be going to a church or temple or something where they're telling you something different, that's still your community. So, you know, we're there to listen and help figure out how to navigate that or find a place that might be more accepting and welcoming. Because really, a religion is a big protective factor for so many of us. And especially in certain communities, you know, here in LA, we'll say, hey, what do you do for a living? In the South, it's office. What church do you go to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we do work to help the youth figure out how to find their place.
Looking ahead, I don't know if the election has changed any of your sort of goals or strategies for the future, but is there anything that comes to mind, like where you feel like you need to go next?
You know, that's a really good question. I think so many of us are trying to figure out what the impact of the election is. We're a nonprofit, so we're nonpartisan. The issue of suicide crosses party lines, yeah. And nobody wants to see a young person lose their life. So we have to kind of figure out how to maneuver. But I know that over the next few months, we have to look at how we can keep getting the message out about the Trevor Project so they know that they can call the Trevor Project. And we do advocacy work. In California, we passed legislation that mandates that middle and high school districts have suicide prevention policies that specifically call out those youth most at risk, including LGBTQ youth, homeless youth, foster care youth, and that was passed and signed by the governor. So we're going to see what other states might want to take on that legislation as well. So we've got a full plate ahead of us as we move into 2017 and kind of uncharted territory. But the Trevor Project's been around for almost 18 years through lots of different times, and we are going to continue to be there, and we're going to be there for our youth no matter what they need.
And now I have to ask the question that I've always wondered but never bothered to research. Does the name Trevor Project come from that adorable short film, Trevor?
It does.
It does. Okay,
it does.
Good.
It does. We were so lucky, those folks, Peggy Reisky, James Lucene, and Randy Stone, when that film aired on HBO, they knew to have a number for young people to call, and that's how the Trevor Project became.
Okay, and very quick, what is that number?
The number to call is 866-488-7386. 866-488-7386.
And thetrevorproject.org.
.org. Thank you.
Abby Land, Executive Director of the Trevor Project, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, John Dyer V, Carol Myers, and Abby Dees and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with double thanks again this week to Steve Pride. Bernadette Peters and Sisters in the Pit performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, the Gay Chemist Support Fund of Horizons Foundation, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGHI Westport, Washington, CKUW Winnipeg, Manitoba, WRPI Troy, New York, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.